This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 486 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and TotalSaddleFit.com. Tonight, we're talking to Hannah from the USEF about all kinds of educational opportunities going on. Karen Isberg comes on to discuss some winter preparation tips. And after that, we got a great riding tip from Michael Bragdell.
This is Reese Scoffler Stanfield from Georgetown, Kentucky.
This is Philip Parks from Rockwood, Ontario, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi, Phil.
Good evening, Reese. How are
you? Good evening. That's so formal. I love it. I am good. It's a little busy around here right now, but that is not a bad thing. Keeps me out of trouble.
You're doing some regional stuff. Is that what I heard all about?
Yeah, our regional finals are here in Lexington this weekend. So, yeah, I have 8 horses showing at regionals, and then, you know, I just try to overachieve and do my horses at my barn. So, but normally with regionals, we're away, so I'm not trying to do my barn too. So it's not necessarily the smartest thing, but yeah, it's all good. And we're
trying to get it all done, trying to fit it all in.
Yep, exactly. Which is good. And you know, the horse park's about 10 minutes from my farm, so it is doable. But all is well. We had a good show day. All the horses were pretty good today. We had a really big weather shift. It was literally 90 degrees yesterday, and this morning it was 50. So there were some fresh horses.
Yeah, you got to deal with that. Yeah.
There was some fresh horses all over the place. My barn, especially, there were fresh horses. But there were fresh horses at the horse park. But it was fine. Everybody looked pretty good. And today was just schooling day for all my horses. So we schooled, and it was a really, really good experience. And everyone was having a great time. It turned out to be the most, you know, the 70 degrees. It got warmed up and was about probably 65 to 70. It was gorgeous. So it was a lovely afternoon to show.
Lovely fall day.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. It was really good. Great. So that was fun. So fingers crossed everybody does well. And, you know, the nice part is literally this regionals is a big one because it's exactly where the rings are for, well, the outdoor rings are for the national championships. So a lot of people are wanting
to use it as a practice run.
Yeah. They don't use the indoor. So that's different, but they use the outdoors and then also the big stadium, the big Rolex stadium. So it's pretty cool. So, but it reminds me, because it's in this big stadium, and it's, I think this is just a tip I wanted to bring in from today and watching sort of everyone's school. The horses don't know, especially if it's a new environment, they don't know it's a big stadium. They don't know anything's different. So I think I said to my students today, I said, you know, enjoy the stadium. How cool is it that you get to go ride in this stadium where all the big time riders ride? I said, but don't ride any differently. Just ride. The horses don't have any clue that's any special place. And I think that happens a lot too when people go into stadiums or kind of some bigger places. You sort of have to learn, just ride your horse. They have no clue that they're in somewhere special.
That's just a horse showing in general. I mean, we got to just... I mean, we have horse show nerves, but we got to not transmit it to the horses by, you know, holding a little tighter, you know, gripping the reins or gripping your knees a little tighter, all that stuff. That's not going to help you do better. So we just all have to
relax,
take a deep breath, remember to breathe throughout a test and do your best. And good luck.
That's all you can do. Exactly. Yeah. So that's what we have going on. But Phil, we have a great show today. I'm really excited. And we're starting to do this along with the USDF podcast, but just kind of introduce everybody to the staff, the wonderful staff. I mean, these ladies and gentlemen are amazing, and they're so dedicated to the sport of dressage. And we're going to chat with Hannah Nabilski today. She's amazing. She's really, really fantastic. She's the director of dressage of national programs. And she's going to tell us what she does at USEF. So we'll get right into it. Well, tonight it is our pleasure to have the Director of Dressage of National Programs, Hannah Nabilski, on the line. Hannah, welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much, Philip and Reese, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we are so happy to have you. And we have been friends a long time now. So it's even more fun to have you on. And in your role, it's so cool. So I love it. It's very fun to have you. So, Hannah, you administer so many programs, and you're just going to kind of give us a rundown of what you do at USCF.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. So it might be easier to say that in my role of the dressage department, I do all things dressage, right? As broad as that sounds. It's anything from competitions to working with athletes to liaisoning with committees or dressage sport committee, which helps govern the sport, to rules and responsibilities and guidelines and kind of anything that has the word dressage in it, it's some way or another will come past my desk. So in that role and responsibilities, I certainly focus on the youth and young horse programs and is responsible for implementation of, particularly with our full title, our Discover Dressage, USCF, USDF Dressage Emerging Athlete Program, which is our youth athletes through U25. And then, of course, our young horse program, which is catered to 4, 5, 6, and 7-year-old horses. And I can certainly, if you'd like me to, I can kind of break down a little bit of what we do for each, if you'd like.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Awesome. I'm like, yes, that's perfect. That's exactly what we want to know, sort of, you know, what you do and how you help everyone.
Sure.
So go for it.
Yeah. So our emerging program is for athletes under the age of 25 with the perceived ability to eventually contribute to the elite programs, pre-elite development programs, and achieve podium scores within 3 quadrennials, which is, of course, a fancier way of saying within 12 years. And, you know, while the focus of this program is truly on the young rider, junior rider, U25 age, FEI age levels, there's also room for children and pony riders. And I don't know if everyone listening in knows about the FEI ages, so I always like to break those down. For FEI children, the ages are 12 to 14. For pony, it's 12 to 16. Junior, it's 14 to 18. Young rider is 16 to 21. And then U25 is 16 to 25. And I always say, too, when everyone calls me on the phone, I'm like, oh, what age bracket do I fall in? Your birthday is whether you were born on February 2nd or April 29th or January 1st. You are that age as of January 1st each year. It's FEI age rules are very similar to thoroughbred racing rules where the horses that are racing in the Kentucky Derby, they are 3 as of January 1st every year.
That makes sense, though. That is probably your number one question, I would think. How old am I?
How old am I? Yeah.
How old am I? And what am I eligible to ride?
Yeah,
in as far as
exactly.
One of my other opportunities,
what can I do?
For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And with this, you know, really the structure of this program, the youth program, I would say, for the past 30 years has, until we launched this Discover Dressage USCF, USDF Emerging Athlete Program, had remained unchanged. And the youth program was really a compilation of training sessions or clinics and competitions and other types of opportunities. But there wasn't really any structure to the program. And so really, almost about a year now, as of our high-intensity training session that's going to be happening later this month for our youth riders, that'll be in Gladstone, New Jersey. But we launched this emerging athlete program, and what this program does now is it adds a little bit more structure to the youth program. And so you have individuals that are meeting markers, and they apply to be in the program by attending a training and evaluation session. Those that are accepted membership continually get support. They get benefits to membership. And fortunately, if they're not meeting their markers, you know, we would have to, you know, you have to continue to meet your markers, of course, to be in any program across the board, like in sport. So my job and my role is to help oversee all of that. I, of course, work hand in hand with our youth coaches. Our assistant youth coach is Charlotte Bradaw, and then our youth coach is George Williams. And I know both of you have heard their names before and probably talked to them multiple times.
We've had them on the show.
We had him on the show. So if anybody wants to hear more about from George Williams, he was on the summer. So you can always, you know, look up him on the website as well. So we have him. Fantastic.
Yeah. And I tell you, a program like this, it really would not be possible. Yes, you have me helping organize and you have the athletes that, you know, in the horses, and that's really what this program is about, let alone our coaches. But I mean, I just have to, since I'm on the radio especially, I want to do a shout out to Discover Dressage and Kim Van Kampen. I mean, it really isn't without that organization's and Kim's support that we're able to even put on a program like this. Because at the end of the day, I mean, we want to provide as much, you know, benefits and assistance and everything that we can to these athletes with hopes and dreams to stand on a podium like their senior riders that they're looking up to and, you know, have a medal around their neck and, you know, ride for the United States with the flag on their saddle pad. And so that's really, you know, what I'm all about in this job, in this role.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So tell us about the young horses. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, so our young horse program is led by Christine Charig, who is our national young horse coach. And right now, I feel like I put her everywhere in the country. We have her from one coast to the other coast in a series of training sessions where she, you know, individuals apply. Applications, I would say, for both our youth programs and our young horse programs are all free of charge. And it's really one of the benefits we don't want you to have to pay to come into these particular training positions. We want to be able to find out where you are. But individuals that are interested in riding with Christine and competing in our national championships and kind of going through what is our pipeline, they have to be in the 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, and 7-year-old FEI age divisions. And again, those are FEI age tests similar to the youth programs we were talking about earlier for athletes. Your horse is 4 as of January 4th. Or your horse is 5 as of January 1st, no matter what in the United States, what year, time that they're born in, what day they're born in. So it's a little straightforward. Everyone's the same age as of the start. But
makes it less
confusing. I will say in the next coming months, you know, we're working hard to add a little bit more structure to that current program in a similar fashion to our emerging athlete program, is where you'll have markers that individuals and their horses have to meet, and there's benefits to memberships and things like that. So we're working hard to have a bit more structure. But right now, Christine is anywhere and everywhere teaching lessons. And we also work closely, I would say, with both programs, and especially with our young horse program, too, with USDF, the United States Dressage Federation, because they put on just such a series of events for both youth and young horse. And whenever we're able to bring George, Charlotte, and Christine there, let alone any of our other coaches, to help support their programs, I mean, we're all meeting the end goal of benefiting dressage.
I love it. Well, it makes you guys do such an amazing job, and we're so thankful for everything you do. So how does one, tell us what are the kind of the steps for membership?
Sure. So for the Emerging Athlete Program, I always say when someone calls me to direct them to the website. I, and including our coaches, have put together a summary document of line by line how exactly you can be involved in these programs. And that's the same for our youth program, our development program, our pre-elite and elite. It's out there. It's very straightforward. And the gist of that is for our youth program, you will apply to attend a training session. We look to have training sessions in all parts of the country and are looking to even get more on the calendar for next year. And you'll attend that training session, you'll ride with the coaches and the court, and we'll go through an evaluation process. Again, these training sessions applications are free of charge. And we try to have the training sessions themselves be so low cost, so it makes sense for youth to go and apply. And at the end of the day, I always say to apply, even if you don't think that you as an athlete have met the markers and you haven't necessarily been competing at these levels, there might be extra spots for individuals that we're just trying to fill, and we're trying to see how everyone is riding and doing across the country. So once individuals ride and attend these training sessions, those that are meeting the markers and any types of wild cards could be accepted for membership. I I will say that we have some pretty awesome benefits to membership for the youth program. I mean, it's really opportunities to participate in various training sessions, clinics, coaching. I was mentioning earlier that we have a high-intensity training session happening in Gladstone, New Jersey. I don't know if any of our listeners have been to Gladstone, but it really is a better way of saying a holy place. I mean, so many of the greats have walked through there and ridden there and to trot through the pillars, and it's certainly an environment to be at. Reese, I know you've been there before.
I have. It's amazing. And can people audit this program, or is it not for auditing?
Not for auditing right now. If you are already a member of the program, you can do auditing. It's something that, because it's more of a elite section of some of these youth riders, we're not necessarily focused on auditing. But there are other opportunities in like a Robert Dover Horse Mastership, things like that, where auditing can be available.
Cool.
And our programs all feed to each other. Also, benefits to membership is access to like our USCF human and equine sort science medicine education programs and resources when they're available. So I know you guys know the name Andy Thomas. He's our sports physiotherapist. He's been awesome and really vital to helping our teams across the board in any of our disciplines, FEI disciplines, achieving medals, especially at WEG this year.
Oh, yeah.
Cricket. Yeah. We have such a lineup of amazing team individuals, so our team vets and team farriers, and you know, access to these individuals is always great, and to be able to work with your personal farriers or your personal vets is really what we're all about, because unless we put somehow as the United States figure out the whole cloning thing, I think we're not going to be able to be everywhere all at once. So our job is to, especially with our coaches, is to help, you know, an athlete, a youth athlete, with their coach, and that everyone's on the same page, because we're not going to be everywhere at once. And our coaches certainly have no desires to be everyone's personal coach, but to help everyone succeed.
Absolutely.
So we certainly have, like, everyone always gets excited about the merchandise, right? Like merchandise of being in part of a program. You get to wear all that swag, all that cool stuff. But we're also, you know, have funding opportunities for competition, especially with our European Young Rider Tour. And then, you know, your name, if you're a part of this program, is actually published on our USCF website saying that you are an emerging athlete member. And sometimes I do think that that goes a long way. And then we're also, we're looking at other opportunities to be able to have like trainer relations and things with our coaches as well. So there's a lot of good stuff. Also, stat analysis, I think, is always a good thing. We've worked very hard with David Stickland, and where you're able to input your test, or your test is automatically uploaded to a database, and all the stars align in ways that I don't understand in technology, but it will match movement for movement. And if you, you know, and let's say increase your half passes by, you know, 0.2%, it ends up increasing your overall score at that level of so X percent. And so we've been working hard to have that as a benefit to membership as well, to have something tangible other than just a test. Yeah.
That's cool. I like it. I like it. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Hannah, you know, I think the biggest thing that you mentioned, which is good to mention, is don't be afraid to apply, and don't be afraid to meet Hannah, because she is the person you need to get to know. She's super fun. She's super easy to talk to, and she's going to answer all these questions, and she will help you get to the things that you need to do. And that's, I think, the biggest and the most important thing, is not to be afraid to sort of move on to the, you know, to apply. It's okay if you don't get in, but if anything, get you on the email list for the next time. And I think that that's super important, and you're so good at that. And that's for the young horses as well. So Hannah's definitely the person you want to get to know. She's so friendly and nice. So Hannah, if our listeners have questions online, how can they get a hold of you?
I tell you, there's multiple ways to get a hold of me. First, by phone. I can just spit out my phone number. My phone number is 859-225-6918. My email, there's a lot of letters in it, but sometimes it's better to just communicate. You can shoot me a quick email. Is my first initial, my last name at uscf.org. So it's hnabielski@uscf.org. I'm also listed on the staff directory online, dressage, the only Hannah in the dressage and sport, so it's easy to find. Also, with that, you know, wicked Polish.
Yeah.
So the email is hnabielski@uscf.org.
Awesome. Well, Hannah, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on and taking your time, and I really appreciate it. And you guys are so dedicated to what you do. It is amazing. And you and your whole team needs a thumbs up, because you live and breathe this and you do it all the time, and you're really amazing at your job, and we really appreciate it, all of us riders, because I'm one of those you have to corral sometimes and say, get your stuff in. Come on. So we really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate that comment, Risa and Philip. I'm sure that you echo the same sentiment. But that's the thing is, you know, really all of us in the dressage department and any of us in sport, we do this because we love it. But two, we do this for, like, you guys, for our membership, for our athletes, for, you know, really for the United States dressage sport. So
It's amazing. So, Hannah, thank you so much. And we can't wait to get kind of an update, I'm sure, sometime with another program coming up when it does. So thanks so much.
Yeah, not a problem. Great. Thank you.
Well, Phil, we've got a great tip from Karen Isberg, her monthly tip on supplements from Kentucky Performance Products next. Well, tonight we are so happy to have Karen Isberg, president of Kentucky Performance Products, on the show for her monthly segment. Karen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I always enjoy being here.
Well, we love it. Well, we're not going to lie to everyone. I literally just saw you like an hour ago at the horse park. Yeah. We were up because we have our regional championships going on, and it's here in Lexington, which is fun and a little hectic for all of us because we're living our normal life and horses and going to the horse park. But it was really fun. But Karen, we have to tell everybody about, before we start our segment, about your new horse and your riding goals, because it's pretty awesome.
Well, Reese, it's all your fault.
It is my fault, everybody. Oops.
It's all her fault. I ended up at her farm, and then all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, after 27 years of not riding, I was up on a horse.
You were up on a horse.
And that was it. Then, you know, I remembered why I loved it so much and how much I missed it. And Reese helped me find the most wonderful horse to start my new career on again. He is a Georgian Grande 7-year-old gelding. So he's a Tobiano Pinto, black and white, and he's extremely adorable, and he's just a lovely horse. And so Reese is helping me get back in the saddle and get my butt where it belongs and my legs where they belong.
yes, and his name is Oreo, and he's perfect. So actually, we did not know this, Karen and I, or I didn't know it. A Georgian Grand is
I was just about to ask you. Yeah, that was
it's a Friesian walking. Sorry, Friesian saddlebred cross. So it's okay. Yeah, he is. And he literally has the cutest face on the planet. Karen, we're going to have to put his picture up on the notes now so everybody can see and meet Oreo. But he's perfect. And he's just been great for Karen to get back riding. And he's just lovely. So,
has he got the Friesian feather or not the Friesian feather?
Oh, that was the first thing he got rid of.
He had kind of a Friesian feather but not a whole Friesian feather. We just cut it all off.
He walked to the barn, and Karen and I were standing there with clippers.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, he's clipped, and he has a pulled mane now, and he looks precious. He just looks like a paint. But he has the Friesian trot, nice big trot and nice big canter, and he just is lovely. We literally had like a 40-degree temperature change, and he was the one I was like, I want to ride Oreo. I don't want to ride anyone else today. I want to ride Oreo. So it's been so fun to see Karen. Just the joy of Karen riding again and enjoying her horses. Pretty awesome. So I told Karen we had to mention, and I told her today as we're watching the regionals that's our goal for her next year. So I'm really getting her into it. So it's pretty awesome.
She's going to have me showing and everything, Phil.
It's going to be amazing. It's
look
awesome.
Well,
that.
he's going down to Wellington. Yep. This winter with Reese, and I'm going to fly down and do some showing on him. So that'll be very exciting.
We're doing it. So, we're doing this. Yep. We're excited. So
we're going for it all the way.
We're doing
all
it. The
way. All right. Well, best of luck.
It.
Yeah, this sounds great.
We'll keep everybody updated on how we're doing, huh, Karen? But right now we're just having a great time, and every ride is better. And you know, it really takes a year when you get to a new horse. Then we've had him about a month now, and he's just great. So we really, really enjoying it. It's fun to see Karen enjoying riding. So it's great. Well, Karen, you have a great topic for us this month. What do we got?
We're going to talk about a couple of things. I think the first thing that we should talk about, since winter is coming, I know it doesn't seem like it in Kentucky because it's been very hot. And I know it's been warm in some other parts of the country, but probably not where Phil is. Has it been warm up there?
Never warm there.
In Canada?
It absolutely has been warm up here.
Really? It's not snowing?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
We've had
some really lovely weather, actually, in the last week or so.
Cool. So.
Well, I'm afraid it's going to turn on us pretty quickly. And this is a really good time of year to get into your feed room and your tack rooms and kind of take stock of what you have. Look at all of your supplements. If anything is out of date, throw it away. You really have to be careful in the winter that you protect your liquids and pastes from freezing. So if you use, especially the liquid vitamin E, if you freeze that, it ruins it. And that's a pretty expensive product. So that's not something that you want to have freeze on you. And any of your oils, your fish oils, your omega-3 fatty acid oils, anything like that that's a liquid or a paste, you need to move it. If your feed room is not heated, you need to move it somewhere where it is heated. So into your tack room, or if your barn is at your house, bring it home and put it in the mudroom or the kitchen or somewhere where you can get to it, but that it can't freeze. It's the mice are going to start coming in. There's a lot for them to eat in the summer, but in the winter and it gets cold, I mean, here they come charging into your barn. So make sure that all of your feed bins, or if there's any damage or cracks or holes, that you get that fixed up so that you don't get a lot of rodent damage in your feeds, which really decreases the value of your feed.
That's an important thing. Yeah, things that you've had in your barn during the summer all of a sudden start to disappear in the winter, or you start to see mice poop around. And for sure, that's something that we forget about, as we prepare for the winter, is the rodents and the pests coming in. So great point.
So that's a good thing to take care of. And then it's always a good idea to clean and disinfect your brushes and your buckets and things, because once it gets cold, you don't want to be out there, washing brushes and washing buckets, and then they freeze and they don't dry. And so it's just a good time of year to kind of take a couple of days and just get everything good and clean and winterized and have a plan. I always recommend that people have a plan too. If there's going to be a big storm coming, make sure that you have a way to get in enough hay to last you through that storm. And especially a lot of people, will get into a hitch where all of a sudden, because the roads are bad, the feed company can't deliver feed. So kind of watch the weather and plan ahead and make sure that you always have enough feed and grain in the barn for your horses in case of inclement weather. So you might have to stock up a little bit.
That's a good point. Feed will last longer too.
Yeah. Feed will last longer in the winter because it's colder. So you can stock up on feed a little bit more in the winter and not have to worry about it going bad.
I love it. Well, I think it's just a good reminder because we all forget, and then you're like,
well, I have a quick question for Karen here. I mean, do you think it's a good idea, as we are preparing for winter, to start increasing grain rations or, changing the hay slightly, or what sort of supplements are we adding in the winter that maybe we weren't using in the summer?
That's an excellent question to bring up, because especially if you have horses that are out on grass, even if they're out on grass just half a day, or, a lot of people, horses are out at night all night and in the summer, and then they come in and they go out during the day in the winter. But winter pasture is very different than summer pasture. So winter pasture is basically just like hay. The grass stops growing and it dies, and basically you have hay. So a couple of things. Right away, your horse is getting a whole lot less water in their diet when they go from grass pasture to just hay. So it's always a good idea to feed a little bit of either extra salt, or if the horses are working, electrolyte, to keep them drinking, because that's an important thing in the winter, to make sure that they're constantly drinking. So that's something that you can look into. You may have to feed more hay to your horses because the pasture has stopped growing. So they're not getting
or it's covered in snow.
Their pastures. Yeah, exactly. They're just not getting
any grass gets covered up.
and your grass stays covered up
for a long time.
Yeah.
So absolutely. And most grass, if it's good grass, has more nutrients in it than typical cut hay. So if you have hard keepers, you may want to have a better quality hay, something that's maybe got some more alfalfa in it, than just regular hay to keep those guys, keep their weight up through the winter. And if you have horses that really struggle, you can put them on a fat supplement as well.
I always think it's a good idea to sort of stay on top of these things. Maybe you have an older horse. I mean, we had one for a while, and you know, once they've sort of dropped the weight that you wish they used to have, you know, that they did have before, mm-hmm. it's really hard to put it back on. So I think mm-hmm. just being, you know, one step ahead of the horse in that way, pre-planning, then you're not constantly, you know, behind the game, as it were, or you know, trying to
exactly fatten
it back up.
Catch them before they lose that weight.
It's really hard. Yeah. Yeah.
Because so. Once, like you say, once they lose the weight, it's hard. And the issue is that before, it takes a while for you to notice that the horse has dropped weight. So by the time you notice that they've dropped weight, they've dropped a lot of weight, not just a little weight typically. And then, like you say, Phil, you're behind the eight ball and you're playing catch up and it's colder already. And so you're fighting that they need increased calories to stay warm and then they need increased calories to gain weight. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I can't get this horse to eat enough. So certainly if you have hard keepers or old horses, start by, and hay is the best way to do it. Hay keeps them warm, much warmer than feeding extra grain. So just pick up your hay ration and start feeding extra hay, or pick, you know, add some alfalfa into your meals, because it has a lot more digestible energy in it than just grass hay. But those are great ways to get your horse ready for winter. Got to winterize them like your car.
Yeah.
You got to be prepared, right? Because it's coming. You know, we're getting snow tires on the cars now, so.
Wow.
That's a Canadian thing to get ready for, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I remember coming to your wedding, Philip, and it was about this time of year, and it snowed, and I thought the wedding was going to be canceled. And Trav's like, you're an idiot.
Because we had about 2 inches of snow.
Yeah, 2 inches of snow, and in Kentucky, that shuts everything down.
It does. In Kentucky, they all stop. But in New York, they just put the chains on their tires and go anywhere.
Exactly. Canada, they have snow tires. I didn't know that was a thing.
Snow tires, man. It's not a problem.
Yeah. This is about the time.
Everybody changes. They change their tires when winter comes. I know.
I had no
idea. That was a strange. I grew up in New York and we did that in New York, and then I moved, you know, further south, and it was like, okay, it's time to put on the snow tires, right? And people are looking at me like, are you
what's
crazy?
That?
We don't know what that is. What is that? I had no idea. I thought the wedding was going to be canceled. That's how stupid I am. So I was like, is it going to be canceled? Travis was like, no, this is Canada. You're fine.
So I'm not winterizing.
This is why I go south, people. I can't figure it out. So I love it.
It would have to be many, many, many feet of snow to cancel the wedding.
Yeah, exactly. I figured that out later. But these are all great tips and things we should be thinking about. Even though it may still be warm this week, I think, like you said, things are going to change quick. And so we've got to do a little bit of fall cleaning instead of a spring cleaning and start thinking about the horses and where they're at with their weight and what we want to do to adjust to make sure they either stay where they're at or we can help them out a little bit more.
And another great thing to get used to doing is you can go out and condition score your horses. Like once a month or once every couple of months. On the KPP website, we have a video and we also have an article about condition scoring, and it you can print it out and take it with you to the barn. So if you condition score your horses routinely, even if they're hairy, you can condition score them because you're kind of putting your hands on them and feeling around. And that way you can monitor your horse's weight and you can catch it faster if you're seeing differences either with them gaining weight or losing weight. So that's a good thing to go check out.
That's a great thing. Yeah, because, you know, once we start putting blankets on, we may or may not sort of notice these differences in our horses. And then, you know, like I said, the older ones, you know, we got to keep an eye on for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's really important that you eyeball them. And the nice thing about the condition scoring system is you give them a score based on certain things that you do, and you can get very consistent about it. So you really will notice. You'll start to really notice those little changes that will give you a heads up.
That's awesome. That's a really, really good idea. Well, Karen, as always, such great tips. And how can our listeners, if they need to ask any more questions, or the one thing you did mention is the fat supplement, the KPP Endure Extra actually has been a really, really helpful tool for us when we have one we can't get sort of weight and muscle on. And we've used that product, and it's been a great product for us.
Yeah, so that's a good product. It's 50% fat, and you only have to feed a half a pound of it a day. So it's easy to get in these horses, and it has natural vitamin E. 1,000 IUs of natural vitamin E. So you're building, you're just helping their immune system, and you're helping their neuromuscular system, as well as getting the weight on. And it has some probiotics in it, so it kind of covers all your bases.
Yeah, it's a great product. Yeah, we've used it with the old horses, but also just working horses that need some muscle and, you know, just some weight and muscle. It's a great product. So, but if people have questions, how can they find you online?
Well, the easiest thing to do is go to kppusa.com. We've got tons of information on our website. We've got information on our products, and we also have a tips and topics area that has just reams and reams of articles in it. Anything you have questions on. You can always email us at info@kppusa.com if you have a question. We'll answer any question that you throw at us. If we don't know the answer, we'll find somebody that does and help you out with that. You can call us at 859-873-2974. We're open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and we're Eastern Standard Time. So just feel free to check us out. We have a Facebook page as well, and you can send us questions that way in private messenger, or you can put them up on the Facebook page for everybody to share. But there's lots of ways to get a hold of us, and we'd love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Thanks as always, Karen. We look forward to next month.
Okay. Have a great month, and I hope it stays a little bit warm up there in Canada so you don't have to freeze your butts off too soon.
All right. True. Thank you.
This week's dressage training tip is brought to you by Total Saddle Fit, home of the shoulder relief girth, at totalsaddlefit.com.
Well, this week, Phil, we have a great Total Saddle Fit tip of the week, but we wanted to talk about the 6-point saddle pad. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's a pad designed to go between the saddle and your normal saddle pad. It's really a great thing for helping you to make your saddle fit perfectly. So there's a couple of different versions along with the Western version. The one version has Wither Freedom technology. So this is a saddle pad or a half pad. This is what we call it, a half pad at home. But it has Wither Freedom technology that is specifically designed for horses with high withers. You know, your thoroughbred types, this is a great saddle pad for that. Or you can get the regular version for maybe your normal fitting horses that have not so high withers. These pads are anatomically correct, so they put the saddle in the right place. And then when you order one of these saddle pads, you get the shims that are designed to help your saddle fit a little bit better. If your saddle is a little bit down in the front, the shims will go in the front. There's three different spots, the front, the middle, and the back, that you can put these shims in. I think this pad I've used a lot on horses, young horses that haven't quite built muscle yet. Use it on all types, just to sort of, if you have a saddle that fits really pretty good but not great, this can help you do that. And if you're in between seeing your saddle fitter,
yes,
There's a lot of great options for using this product. So
yeah, that's 100%
wool. It's fantastic. You know, like all of the Total Saddle Fit products, they're made really well, designed to last. You can put it through the laundry a lot, and I've not seen any any tearing, ripping. You know, the seams, the stitching is really great. So I love using this product.
Yeah, it's a great product. And like you said, you know, we're coming to the end of summer, and the horses are all a little bit different. We see the saddle fitter right when we leave Florida, and then in the fall, and we're ready. A couple of them really need to see the saddle fitter just because they've changed a lot. And so it's just a really good pad to have in your stable, just to have it around. So as always, Justin from Total Saddle Fit is amazing. And you can find the website, totalsaddlefit.com.
They got some great videos on the website. I just wanted to draw attention to, you know, they sort of help you to figure out what's going on with your saddle and help you to use their products to make everything fit just a little bit better. And for sure, as a rider, when your tack fits better, your job is easier. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, as always, Justin's awesome, and he's really also very helpful with questions. So hope that helps, and I hope you enjoy this week's Total Saddle Fit Tip of the Week.
This tip was brought to you by Total Saddle Fit, the shoulder relief girth that Reese and Philip both love. And here's why.
The Saddle Fit solution you have been waiting for is finally here. TotalSaddleFit.com is proud to introduce the Shoulder Relief Girth. This strategically shaped girth actually moves the girth line of your saddle back over 1 inch, thereby freeing your horse's shoulders from the saddle. Traditional girths pull saddles up against a horse's shoulders and often over the top of the shoulders. The shoulder relief girth's recessed ends allow for the billets to buckle into the girth farther back to give your horse unparalleled freedom of motion. We are so certain that your saddle will fit better and your horse will be more comfortable that for a limited time we are offering a 30-day, 110% money-back guarantee. If you are not totally satisfied with your shoulder relief girth, send it back for a full refund plus 10% of the purchase price. Don't wait. Order now for the best saddle fit solution available.
At TotalSaddleFit.com. Visit TotalSaddleFit.com.
We are so excited that Michael Bragdell stayed on the line with us for a Total Saddle Fit tip of the week. Michael, what's your tip for all our listeners?
Well, lately, the thing that catches me a lot, and I've been reminding my students, is about keeping their elbows forward and ride the tempo forward to keep the horse straight. So
I love it. So when you mean elbows forward, kind of talk to us about what you're trying to achieve when you do that.
Well, I'm trying to get their hands to be more in front of them. And it seems like when I say put your hands more forward, it doesn't, maybe they've heard it too many times. So I keep reminding them to push their elbow forward, and it seems to light a light bulb with a lot of them, and they push their arms a little more forward and give a little bit through the elbow, because I think a lot of times the riders, they hold a little bit in their shoulders and they hold a little bit in their elbow. And everybody's trying to be very correct in keeping that nice angle of their elbow. And for some people, I think it's a little bit hard in how they are physically put together.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that.
And confirmation.
That's a really good confirmation.
Of the riders. Yeah.
Yes. So, I think the three of us have long arms. The three, knowing this group, like we all have long arms, but I think that's really true. I think a lot of my students have shorter arms, and it's a little bit harder for me to understand that because I have really long arms. So yeah, keep going with the confirmation. I think that's a good way to say that.
Yeah. So I keep saying elbow forward, and it seems to be hitting home with a lot of my students. They're like, get that aha moment and let go a little bit of the rein. I mean, they don't drop it, but it's that enough forward to place their hand in a better position and being able to ride the hind legs forward into that contact or forward into the bit. I think that's sort of the image that I'm putting myself in and trying to project to them so they understand what I mean.
Yeah, I think this is a particular problem with riders who are riding at, training level, and pre-training level and first level, and a little bit in second level too, where, everybody's trying to emulate all these awesome riders that we see at WEG and on, online at the big competitions who are riding higher levels, St. George, Grand Prix, where the horses are needed to be a little bit more collected. That means the rider needs to draw their elbows back into their body a little bit to accept the pressure, and to make the collection happen. But at all levels, kind of prior to the test actually asking for any kind of collection, they should have, their arms more straight than that traditional Grand Prix position. The riding has to change, just slightly in positional things, for younger horses or for horses that are not developed as much as the collecting horses. So I think it's just they're trying to do their best to look like their favorite rider, but they're not riding a Grand Prix horse, right? That their rider is. I mean, if you see, Charlotte on young horses, the arms are straighter because the horse is not, you can't collect them up and have them in that high degree of collection. They have to learn first to go forward and to accept a hand that is receiving the energy instead of a hand that is trying to balance, energy or to make a more uphill horse and all these other things that you need to develop later on. So I think sometimes that explanation is important, that, you ride the horses for the level that they're, you know, and in the rider's position also that, you know, ride the horse for the level that you're riding, not for the level that you hope to be riding in 5 years from now.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that. I think that's a great, I'm going to use that because again, I have riders that have some conformational challenges just because their arms aren't very long. And I love that analogy. I think that's fantastic. That was like a light bulb for my own teaching, Michael. So thank you so much.
Oh, good.
Thumbs up on that.
You're welcome. Add it to the toolbox, right?
I love it. Add it to the toolbox. I love it. Well, Michael, for the closing, if anybody wanted to ask you a question about training or get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Probably the best way is to contact us through our website, which is hilltopfarminc.com. And their contact information is on the website.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much. And we look forward to seeing you this fall.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Phil, we got a really nice email shout out from Nancy Jones. Super cool. She wrote us a tip. Hi, Reese and Philip. Your tips are working on my chestnut mare, are working beautifully. We're having a wonderful time. Thanks. So, Nancy, shout out to you. Thanks so much for as always,
we're
we
happy
love it
we
when
can
you guys
try and help. And
yeah.
Sometimes we can help people.
It puts a smile on my face. Yeah, me too. I mean, that's why we do this. Yep, that's why we do it. Put a smile on my face this week. So thanks so much for emailing us. We love it. So as always, don't forget, you can send us an email or Facebook shout out. We love it. And we really do read them. So thanks so much for that. And you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our website, dressageradio.com. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com. And my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
The best way to find me is on Facebook, or my email is philip@horseradionetwork.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors for allowing us to put on a show this week. And don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
Everybody, keep your heels down and your shoulders back, and we'll talk to you next week.